Section86.com. We're changing the world of podcasting one show at a time.
Got Stitcher? We're on it. So get it. Stitcher is an award-winning provider of news and talk radio for your mobile phone. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio. Is Robbie E getting his first real feud with Jeff Hardy? Why is the WWF logo allowed on TV? And what is Kevin Nash talking about? All this and much, much more on this week's Off the Mark.
TNA Impact referee Brian Hebner, and you're listening to Off the Mark.
86 Productions.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Off the Mark. We are the only podcast that provides the most in-depth insight and analysis into the world of professional wrestling. I am Andrew, he is Aaron. Let's start the show by discussing some recent news. The Dudleys will be leaving TNA soon. What's going on with this, Aaron?
We had talked about it a little bit last week, and it looks like Bully Ray and D-Von are set to head out. Bully actually on Thursday had said to his followers, "Do you want me to stay in TNA?" And I think that kind of says something about his mindset right now. I think that he's kind of like, "Who cares?" And D-Von's not even on TV, which we're going to talk about in a little bit. So I think that this could be telling. I think that they could be on their way out. Personally, I'd like to see him stay.
Yeah, and it's interesting that both their contracts run out right before Bound for Glory. So are the points just going to disappear or get rewarded back to the other wrestlers? I mean, it's going to be interesting to see what they do with this. So WWE Hall of Famer Shawn Michaels commented on Twitter Tuesday afternoon about about declining an executive position with the WWE. I mean, this is kind of a big news. I'm surprised he would decline this. I mean, what do you think it was for?
I'm not sure what it's for. Maybe talent relations or, talent scouts. Shawn Michaels is a tremendous performer. Even still, I mean, to be able to put on the matches that he did 2 years ago, I think that says something about him. And I think that if he was still in the ring, he would be able to continue doing what he did. I think that Shawn Michaels would be a good talent scout. However, though, here's the only problem. There are so many performers, and I'm not talking about in wrestling. I'm talking about in sports in general, who make horrible coaches. You think about football. You think about basketball, baseball. There are so many who were great in their day who turn out to be really bad. And so I don't know if that would be actually the best move for the WWE. I like Shawn Michaels, but I also don't want Triple H to run the show and have it be only him and his cronies.
Yeah, and I completely agree. I'm trying to think of someone to, explain this. But, all right, look at Michael Jordan, one of the best mm-hmm. basketball player of all time. If he coached, I guarantee you it would be hard for him because, Michael Singletary is the best example. One of the best linebackers that ever played, and he's having trouble coaching because he says, "I need you to block harder." But then a guy who didn't make a team somewhere will come in and say, "I need you to block harder or better, but I'm going to show you how to do it." See, Singletary never could explain how to do what he wanted them to do. And see, that's the same thing with Shawn Michaels. I don't think he can explain it. But, I mean, he's had two guys, I think two of the biggest guys that came out are, of course, the American Dragon, Daniel Bryan now, and Spanky. Mm-hmm. Those are the two guys
came from his school.
Yeah. So, but I can't think of anyone else off the top of my head, but I can think of those guys. Well, if he's training, these hundreds of wrestlers and he gets two, that's kind of saying something because I don't even think there's anyone that he's trained in TNA. And everyone's probably yelling at me because I'm probably missing someone. But still, it's one of those things. Some people like that, it's hard for them to explain on how to get the crowd into it. I mean, look at Hogan. Yeah.
Now, moving on, Andy, why is the WWF logo now allowed?
This is actually big news. The WWE finally has settled all its litigation with the World Wildlife Fund. So they can now run all the WWF logos, not just the old school one, but also from the Attitude Era, the one with the squiggle lines or whatever. That one now can be shown, which is actually a big deal because I wouldn't be surprised if they actually hired someone just to blur out every WWF logo. And that would cost them hundreds of thousands of dollars just to have that guy blur everything out.
Yeah, because think about how long they used it for. And during that time frame that they used, I mean, we're talking 97, 98 until 2002, I believe. And so, I mean, we're talking 5 years. And that five-year run that they had, you're talking about The Rock. You're talking about Stone Cold and Shawn Michaels and Undertaker and Triple H and all these people coming up and you know, crafting that Attitude Era. And not being able to use that logo was so bad for them, because before 97, really before 98, you know, the WWF really kind of sucked. You know, up until like 94 through like 96, 97, it was terrible. You know, they had a couple of good things going for them, but for the most part, wasn't good. It really was not good. And you don't want to show that stuff. So what do you have? You really have the 80s and then really quick into the early 90s. And then you couldn't show the Attitude Era, you know, and let's face it, right now, not that great. You know, has a couple of small things. Being able to show the Attitude Era is great. And they're going to be able to make DVDs of it and capitalize on that.
But think of all the DVDs they've already made, though, and Blu-rays where they had to blur that logo out. I would not be surprised if you see re-releases of those where they say it's like digitally enhanced or some, you know, they put some spin on it. But really all it is that they unblurred the logos.
That, I would love that.
Yes, I would. So I would definitely like that, too. So the WWE has announced, they announced the other day, they have even had a press release come out saying they're going to now have a new WWE Saturday Morning Slam, and it's going to debut on the CW network, actually on the same day as your wedding.
Oh, really?
Yes, it's going to debut that morning, so guess what? We get to watch that. Hopefully it's at 10 a.m., and then we get to go to the church. How awesome is that? And
I am looking forward to that, actually. And I mean, that's what I want to do the day of my wedding.
Well, yeah, we want to, you know, sit in front of the TV and tweet about it and then then go get pictures and everything digging. I mean,
of course.
Why wouldn't we want to do that?
Let's talk about this a little bit. They announced that they were going to have a Thursday show or Wednesday show,
right? It's going to be a Wednesday night show, and it's going to be on ION, which I did find out that, yes, I do have it on DirecTV. I think it's channel like 304 or something like that. But yeah, I do get that channel, but not in HD. So I'm going to be able to watch the Wednesday night show. But when you think about it, they're going to have wrestling just about every day in some places because Superstar still runs outside the country. NXT still runs as well. And some places it actually airs on Tuesday. So hypothetically, you could have 7 days of wrestling. That's kind of a big deal. That's a lot of wrestling. I mean, how much can you throw down on, you know, someone's throat?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know.
I definitely agree. I mean, I'm going to just echo your point a little bit more. I think TNA, the thing I like the most about it is I have to wait a full week to see what happens next. And on Raw, I like that. You know, about like CM Punk. CM Punk said something or did something. I got to wait a full week, see what he did and see what happens. And then they have SmackDown where like they show a recap of it and it's like, ugh, I don't care. I don't, unless you're going to actually show me something that's going to advance that storyline, I just don't care. And you're going to then show me the exact same thing on Wednesday and you're going to show me it again on Saturday. So I'm going to see what CM Punk did on Monday, Wednesday, Saturday, and then again, you know, late Saturday night, Sunday morning for WWE AM probably. And then finally see what happens again on Monday. And it's like, really? Like, really? You need that much programming? Really?
I mean, I see what they're doing with this. They're actually leading up for the WWE Network because I know that, like, Raw AM is stupid. That should be on their network. The main event show, I don't know why it's on ION. I still have no idea. It's probably going to go to that. I wouldn't be surprised if you see eventually SmackDown go to it, but I also think I would be because you want to have network TV and having it, you know, on the, oh gosh, on Sci-Fi and also having it on USA, that's cable networks. I just don't see where they're going with this. I mean, I know like NXT, I'll download those off the interwebs and it's cool to watch, you know, watch some of that stuff because it's guys who you're going to see eventually, but they're not going to air that stuff in the US anymore, which I think is ridiculous. It should be aired and it's not now.
Absolutely.
But
I don't know. And NXT is what SmackDown should be.
Exactly.
I mean, plain and simple. Plain and simple. SmackDown needs to be rebranded. And honestly, I mean, next week, honestly, we're going to have to talk about Raw going 3 hours. You know, unless something big happens, we will talk about that next week because, you know, a lot of stuff to talk about in terms of, you know, amount of time that we need to talk about.
We should also eventually talk about how to actually properly show how you should present wrestling to people. I mean, really realistically, because you can't have an hour on Wednesday, an hour on Saturday. And you know, an hour on Tuesday. I mean, you need to, and 3 hours on Monday. You need to, you know, split it up properly. I mean, that's a lot of programming in a week. I mean, that's a lot.
So, yeah. And we'll talk about that.
Yeah, eventually.
Let's move on to WWE programming this week, Andy. So Shawn Michaels is going to be in Triple H's corner at SummerSlam. What do you think about this?
I'll see you at SummerSlam. Thank you, Brock, for almost screwing up your one line. Yeah. I don't know what's going on with this. I don't think it's a big deal. I mean, the only thing I could see happening is Shawn Michaels causing Triple H to lose. And then, you know, that's the only thing I could see happening. But something's telling me that they told Brock that he's going to lose already. I just have a feeling because if he loses to Triple H, there is no point in having him coming back. He should come back, beat the crap out of Triple H, and actually beat the crap out of Shawn Michaels, and then put his foot on him, do the Chris Jericho stance, and then that's it. That's what he should do. But that's not what's going to happen. Triple H is going to say, well, I never beat Brock or whatever, but I did beat him this time or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it reminds me of Ultimate Warrior coming in and Hogan beating him. You know, is it for payback? And even though Hogan says it wasn't, but come on. That's what I think is going on with this.
This in particular, though, if Triple H wins, it is hard for me to think that he cares so much about business because having Brock Lesnar lose this means where do you go with Brock Lesnar from here? And so I don't want to speculate too much. And so in 2 weeks' time after SummerSlam, you know, we're going to do the podcast like we always do. And we'll probably do the weekly topic then. Where does Brock Lesnar go from here? Because we're going to have to. We're going to have to sit there and actually talk about what are you going to do with Brock Lesnar? And even if he wins, what do you do with Brock Lesnar? You know? So I think this is something that we're going to have to wait and see. Having Shawn Michaels there, that kind of worries me that he's going to help Triple H win just so that way it makes Brock Lesnar look a little bit more credible in the same way that Triple H had Kevin Nash come out and interfere, but you don't remember that. And years from now, it's going to be Triple H beat CM Punk, you know?
Yep.
So, but I want to move on, though, Andy, to Sandow and Brodus Clay are going to feud.
Yeah, and I'm digging this. And, you know, the one thing I was surprised about was why Sandow picked the Funkasaurus. It's kind of weird, but it makes sense because the rumor is they might drop the whole dancing thing and give him more of an edge. And I can see that with the Sandow feud, and this is leading up to it because Brodus Clay came out this week and then got attacked. He didn't get to dance this week.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it helps Sandow's character a lot because the fans wanted to see him dance and they wanted to be able to get in the ring and dance with the Funkasaurus, but they can't because this guy, Sandow, is basically not allowing that to happen. I'm kind of digging it. I think it helps Sandow more than Brodus Clay, actually. I think it hurts Brodus Clay.
I actually disagree. I don't think that it hurts Brodus Clay. I think that this is a smart move for one big reason. You introduced all of these new guys, and then you threw them, you know, some of them into feuds, some of them you didn't throw into feuds. And these are two guys who are feuding with each other. So, like, they bring back Albert. He feuds with Tyson Kidd or whatever, right? A quote-unquote established superstar. I'm using that loosely. You know, in just a little bit, we're going to talk about Christian and Antonio Cesaro. And you know, so that's an established superstar with a new one, right? And same thing here. But I'm sorry, it's very different here, where you have two unestablished superstars who I think that this could help get the fans interested, and you actually might be able to see what level they are supposed to be at. So if the fans are super interested in this feud, this could be a mid-card, upper mid-card feud. It's probably not. But if the fans don't care, then you got to evaluate it and say, you know what, this is actually more of a low mid-card feud. You know, this is kind of the thing that we're going to use to open up Raw. We're not going to have this be the big thing. So I think this is a great move of, on their part, and you know, keep it coming. Have this be a 2 month long feud. Move them both on to new superstars.
Yeah, yeah, that's exactly what you said. They probably should do. So Wade Barrett's been having some promos run on Raw and SmackDown, and it kind of reminds me of like a Fight Club esque type thing, like a underground fighting. And I'm kind of digging it. So I'm almost wondering. It'd be interesting to see him and Lesnar feud almost, because they're both going to be fighters.
Oh.
And the thing is, if you want Brock Lesnar to put someone over, Wade Barrett might be the guy. If they actually like fight, like, and then some wrestling, but more like fist fighting and like holds and stuff, I'd be interested in that. And I think that'll actually help both guys out. Even if Wade Barrett wins, I'm still going to be like, I want to see the match again, because I'm guaranteed they can put a good match together.
Well, putting Wade Barrett in that match, Brock Lesnar comes back and faces Cena, Triple H, and then Wade Barrett. To be put to be put on that level, even though I don't think Wade Barrett's on that level yet, and I don't know if he will be in a couple years or not, but to be put up with those names, if you're mentioned in the same breath as Rock and Undertaker, you are happy about that, right? Same thing here. I would be very happy to be mentioned in the same echelon as Triple H and John Cena. So I think that would be a very smart move, even if he loses. You know, I like these promos too. I think that Wade Barrett could be a great, great character for them. I actually think that, you know, have him on SmackDown for a little bit, but move him on to Raw. You know, don't keep him on SmackDown, because he's not doing as good over there as he could be.
Dude, you gave me some ideas. I can think of like 10 ideas right now that you do with Wade Barrett and Brock Lesnar, and actually have Wade Barrett lose, but still make him look good. Wow, yeah. That I hope they do that. I really do. This is something that's really weird. Okay, Christian gets buried by Del Rio on Raw, and the whole thing with Sheamus driving around his Ferrari, I thought it was hilarious. You know, kind of remind me of a Stone Cold trashing some cars of Vince's, of course. So I thought that was really interesting. I thought the whole tout thing is getting really annoying, but at least A-Rod got his first win in a long time. Yay! But then Christian wins on SmackDown. Mm-hmm. Who did he face again?
On SmackDown, he faced Antonio Cesaro. But even after that, like, you know, he gets crap kicked out of him. So it's like, you know, it's almost like he's getting buried over and over again, kind of like The Miz, you know, on both Raw and SmackDown this week. I really wonder if they care about established superstars, or if they're just using them as stepping stones, you know?
Yeah.
Because that's what it seems like.
Yeah, there's a lot of problems, and I don't think they realize it. I think Triple H is telling Vince everything's okay, but I wouldn't be surprised if Vince just starts making a power move saying, listen, you know, years ago, everyone had a feud and it makes sense. It doesn't make sense to have a guy, you know, on Raw get his butt kicked, but then he, you know, he's powerful on SmackDown, vice versa. It doesn't make sense. And why just have guys wrestle each other? There should be a reasoning why. Even just have a guy bump each other in the back and be like, hey, what's your problem? I don't know. Let's go in the ring and settle this. Okay, there's a reasoning. Exactly. What was the reasoning for Christian this week?
Yeah, and that's the thing. It doesn't make sense. But, like, for example, Jericho and Ziggler, you know, they actually teamed together and they were having issues. And so it like, for them, their feud, it makes sense.
Yes.
And they're now, they actually have a match at SummerSlam, which they weren't sure if this was going to happen, but a Fozzy date got canceled, so Jericho was able to do that. This is probably going to be his last match for the WWE, and he's probably going to lose it, which is good, because that's going to put Ziggler over. And I got to tell you, I really hope that they do something good with Ziggler.
What I think is going to happen is, I think it's going to be an injury angle. In all seriousness, I think something's going to happen to Jericho during the match, and I think it's going to be like a 5, tops 10 minute match. I think something's going to happen earlier, and Ziggler's going to keep beating on some, whatever the matter with Jericho is, a knee, you know, elbow, whatever. If it's on the left side, by the way, then we know that it's a fake injury. But I think that's what will happen. It makes Jericho look good. He can go away for 6 months, 7 months, whatever, and then, you know, come back, which I think is what he'll end up doing. Because why would he come back and then he didn't really do anything? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? He's going to be back, and I bet you, I wouldn't be surprised if he comes back and somehow screws Ziggler somehow. And continues that feud up to WrestleMania is what I think they'll all do. But
and, you know, honestly, I think that'd be a great idea for them to do. I really do.
Yeah, because there's going to be dates that he can come and work on a Raw, but, you know, we'll see, you know. Maybe we'll have something on main event on the Ion show. You never know. So Cena versus Big Show versus CM Punk, Chicago Made.
Cookie Monster.
The Cookie Monster, Chicago Made, Chick Magnet, you know.
It was Chick Magnet was the original.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on the feud, you know, on this little three-way dance they have going on?
Well, I'm kind of digging it. And I think CM Punk wants – he's trying to get more recognition, if that makes sense. I like, he recently did a tweet to a guy who just got a big endorsement deal. And I was waiting for a response from the other guy because then, you know, CM Punk is a little bit more relevant. And then maybe they say, you know, CM Punk said this and he's also going to be in a triple threat match with John Cena, a recently divorcee, and Big Show. So I think that's what he was trying to do, but he also had a good point about that. But their feud is actually interesting because you could have Big Show win, but pin Cena. And it won't hurt Cena because Cena can lose for the rest of his career and not be hurt. But Cena's hurt. That is a fact. He is hurt. He's having some neck issues. As you know, when he goes down for a bump now, it's lower back every time and then barely. Usually his head doesn't hit now. You know, go back, watch. You'll be surprised by that. But he's been doing that for a few months now. So I wouldn't be surprised if it's more CM Punk Big Show stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I like it. I see CM Punk winning, though. I actually see CM Punk keeping it, like I said before, till Royal Rumble. I that's when I see it's gonna go tell.
And I actually hope that it does. I think having him turn tweener in the middle of his run is a smart thing to do because I had been getting a little, I don't want to say annoyed or sick of, but I've definitely been gotten a little like, CM Punk again. And so I'm glad that they did this because it makes it fresh and it makes it new and it makes the title worth something. This guy has held the title now for over 200 some days, all right? He is one of the longest reigning WWE champions in history. And so that is smart for them to do. It makes the title worthwhile. If they take the title off him to give back to John Cena for his 11th championship, why bother? I'm sorry, 11th WWE championship. Why bother? Because all you're doing is you're saying, you know what? He can hold the title as much as he wants. No, if he's the main guy, he doesn't have to have the title be the main guy. All right? So he doesn't need it. And so I really hope that they don't do that. We'll have more to talk about this probably next week because SummerSlam is now, you know, it's just a week and a half away.
Mm-hmm.
So there'll be more to talk about it. But let's move on to our sponsor, Andy.
HostGator, are you a blogger or podcaster or you're just not happy with your web hosting? You can check out HostGator.com. You're going to find web hosting made easy and affordable. HostGator offers unlimited disk space, unlimited bandwidth, one-click script installs. Are you a blogger or podcaster or you're just not happy with your web hosts? You need to check out HostGator.com. You're going to find web hosting made easy and affordable. They offer unlimited disk space, unlimited bandwidth, and one-click script installs with a free site builder and hands down the best control panel out there. Stop by today and try a free demo to see how easy it is. And if you use a special coupon code OFFTHEMARK, you'll save 25% off your web hosting packages. So what do you got to lose? Check out HostGator.com and take a bite. So what do you got to lose? Check out HostGator.com and take a bite out of your web hosting costs. Also, make sure you check out the Section 86 Off the Mark page. There's a little ad at the very bottom. Right now, you're getting a sweet deal right now on some Raw 1000 t-shirts. Make sure you click on that link and tell them Off the Mark sent you. Let's move on to Impact Wrestling's things that suck this week. Garrett Bischoff gets a little more airtime. And that's why I fast forward through this. Why was he given more airtime, dude?
Well, he's been in a tag match, and it's just like, really? Like, you know, like, we don't need this. We don't need this.
You know what we do need? We need to know why the TV title has not been defended in weeks after Hogan said it'll be defended every week. This title should be on Impact and Explosion. Guess what? It's on neither. Why?
You know, and that's why Devon should have been put into the Bound for Glory series, plain and simple. You put him in there, you have him feud with Robbie E, you know, and have the title. The TV title can change hands frequently. It should actually probably change hands once every couple of months, you know. You can have somebody win, like I could beat you for the title, and then at the next pay-per-view, you could beat me for the title, and it wouldn't be weird. You know, like if the world heavyweight title, you know, we have this week, we have Robert Roode taking on Austin Aries. And so it would be a little weird if he wins, and we'll talk about that in just a little bit. But the TV title, I don't like it. I really don't like that it's not being defended. And the other thing I don't like, too, is why is Jeff Hardy and Robbie E kind of feuding right now? Why?
I don't get this either. I mean, Robbie E is basically, he's a curtain jerker. He's the opening match, and that's what he's good for. He's comical. You know, the whole thing with the list, bro, I find that hilarious still.
Absolutely.
And they make fun of Jersey Shore, so it's even better because of that. Now, at some point, you got to stop beating the dead horse. And at what point do you stop doing that?
In the wrestling world, he has an overall of like 30, all right? You know, and he could probably feud maybe with like a Santino. You know, I could see that maybe be a fun feud. Jeff Hardy transcends TNA. He can go to WWE, TNA, Ring of Honor. He has a 90, 95, you know, rating in the wrestling world. He is somebody who, if you are a wrestling fan, and even if you're a casual wrestling fan, you probably know who Jeff Hardy is. So you, this is the equivalent to having Hulk Hogan in the, I don't know, let's say late 80s, early 90s, and he's feuding with Marty Jannetty.
That's a good one. I that's actually a good example. Definitely.
Yeah. And you know, I hate to throw Marty under the bus, you know, personal friend of the show. But I would say it's almost like that. But yeah. Let's move on to a few of the good things that happened.
Let's talk about someone who has more Twitter followers than Marty Jannetty. Chavo Guerrero and Hernandez versus Cash and Gunner is going to happen at Hardcore Justice. Good opening feud for Chavo. Mm-hmm. Hernandez is just there. And Cash, should we call him Uncle Cash now?
And, yeah, Uncle Cash.
And I hope Gunner, for some reason, just gets the butt kicked, you know, the crap kicked out of him. I just can't stand him.
Well, I think that this is a good way. I really hope that Chavo and Hernandez form a tag team. I really do, because they need help in their tag division. And they both have worked in tag teams in the past. And so if you have them be a tag team, you have Cash and Gunner, you have Robbie E, Robbie T, you have Kaz and Daniels. That is a smart move. And then you have a tag division again, you know? So I really hope they do that. But Andy, I want to move on though to Austin Aries and Roode. So they did a contract signing, and in that contract signing, Austin Aries said that if he loses the title, that's it. He's a one and done. He is not going to ask for a rematch. And at the same token, neither can Roode. So this is the last time these guys are going to face each other, which changes things a little bit, because I was thinking that Aries was going to win this match, and then the next pay-per-view, Roode would win his title back. But instead, this means that Aries wins or Roode wins, and then they have to move on to a different feud. So what's going to happen?
I can tell you what I think is going to happen. I think Aces and Eights are going to come out and beat up Austin Aries, and then he loses. It makes sense now, because you can almost say that Bobby Roode is behind Aces and Eights in a way. Mm-hmm. Because if they come out, beat up Austin Aries, you know, when the ref's down, because, you know, there's going to be a ref bump, and then they come out and beat the crap out of him, and then, you know, Earl Hebner does his 1, 2, and then 3, you know, it's over. You almost could say that Bobby Roode's behind it. But I think the biggest swerve would be if all of a sudden, you know, James Storm comes out and they're the ones behind it.
Mm.
Almost, in a way. That might be it, but I also, in a way, think Kurt Angle is behind. You know, there's so many things they're doing with it. I keep changing my mind on it, but I thought that would be kind of a cool idea. But I kind of like this, but I don't want Austin Aries to lose it yet. But I have a feeling he's going to, and that's sad. And I really, really don't want him to lose it, because I think he's a good champion. You know, I'm great for him for what he's done after the whole Tough Enough incident. He's come, you know, that's been a little over a year now. Look what he's done. He's become a champion, a world champion at a big promotion.
Comeback of the year by far.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Biggest comeback of the year.
Better put that down for the rewards, is Austin Aries.
I know, right? I mean, hands down. So I hope that this feud, I really wish it would continue, but I think that you're spot on with your analysis of that. Yeah. So, Andy, let's move on, though, to Bully. Bully Ray takes on James Storm and wins, mm-hmm. which is very surprising because obviously James Storm has been their poster child for the Bound for Glory series, and Bully Ray won. And he had lost to a couple people that was kind of surprising. So my question to you is, do you think that this is a sign that Bully Ray is here to stay?
I think this is more of an incentive for him to stay. Because realistically, I wouldn't be surprised if they only signed, you know, I keep on saying Bubba, but Bully Ray. I wouldn't be surprised if he's the only one to get signed. And because D-Von hasn't really done much. And nothing against him because he seems like he's a cool guy. I like him as a wrestler. I just don't see – he's a tag team guy. He's not – I mean, he's the Dudleys. I mean, that's how I look at it. I don't think he's going to sign. I think D-Von won't sign. And I think it's more they're lowballing him and they're saying take it or leave it is what's going to happen. That's the sad part. But with Bully, I think they're saying we see you as a superstar, but it also depends on how good friends they are. Are they really good friends where – if, you know, they both have to get the same contract or Bully gets a little bit higher, but they both stay, you know, what are they going to do? We mm-hmm. don't know right now. It's all behind the scenes. It's going to end here pretty soon. I guess Hardcore Justice will find out by who wins and who loses.
We might, you know, I mean, that remains to be seen. But, you know, since we're running out of time, Andy, I want to move on to our weekly topic because I think that it is this is something that is we're going to probably spend quite a bit of time on.
Yeah.
And I think it's important that we do. Kevin Nash stated this week that when Benoit and Guerrero hugged at the end of WrestleMania 20, that was the end of the business. And what he meant by that is that those superstars are not larger than life in the same way that he is. You know, they are small guys. They're under 6 foot. You know, they weigh under 200 pounds or around the 200 pound mark. And you look at someone like Kevin Nash, who is like 6 foot seven. He weighs probably like 250 to 300 pounds. I mean, he is a big guy. And you see him in the airport and you're like, that's somebody special. Whereas you saw Chris Benoit or Eddie Guerrero at an airport and you're like, it's just anybody else. What do you think of the comments that he made about that?
He's wrong. And here's why, all right? Colt Cabana and CM Punk have this thing where they want to see how many minutes they can go by just walking down the street. You know, they went to Pittsburgh, this is weeks ago, but they're in Pittsburgh, they went to go see a Pirates game. I don't know why they decided to do that, but they went to go see it. And they want to see if they can make it 5 minutes without someone saying something to them or saying, hey, what's up, or whatever. They never made it past a minute without someone noticing them. And they're going to a baseball game, all right? Now, granted, Pittsburgh wrestling's big in that area, especially in Pennsylvania. But still, he walked on streets, and he said he had his hoodie up and everything, so you could barely notice him. But all of a sudden, all these people notice him. And they say, yeah, CM Punk, or, you know, go WWE or something like that, or Colt Cabana. Like, that's what I find hilarious. So he gets noticed. Daniel Bryan, I don't know because I don't hear much about him, but there's been instances where people have heard where they've said, hey, how you doing? Can I get an autograph? And it happens all the time. They are larger than life. And I think it's more they connect with the audience and because they're underdogs. See, Kevin Nash is just big. I mean, I'll say this. Kevin Nash was really good when he first started. But then after he tore his quad, he just kind of went downhill after that. And actually, when he was the champion, I think that might have been the worst year in wrestling, actually, when he was the champion. That's why he held it for 13 months. And I think that he's scared because CM Punk could actually surpass him.
Yeah, no, I actually agree with your statement there. I got to say that I think it's really short-sightedness, and I think it's him wanting to stay relevant at a time when he is not relevant anymore. Let's face it. Right now, the WWE champion is CM Punk, who is larger than life. You know, he is an interesting character. Daniel Bryan was the world heavyweight champion for a while, and he's somebody who does look kind of normal. You know, he's somebody who you may, you know, not recognize him. But and I don't know, maybe that's why they had him grow out the beard, because it looks a little different, you know. You have Austin Aries, the TNA champion, who, you know, yeah, he looks, you know, pretty interesting, but he's 5 foot 10. You know, I mean, he's not 6 foot, 250 pounds. And at the time, think about this. In the 90s, you had Hogan as the WCW champion. You had Shawn Michaels, Stone Cold, The Rock, Undertaker, Triple H, Mick Foley. Those were your WWE champions, right? Mm-hmm. These are larger-than-life people. And I think that he sees this evolution, and he's like, I don't like this. This is different. I don't like the fact that this is different, you know? These people could actually wrestle. They're different than me. The difference between him and Chris Benoit, Eddie Guerrero, CM Punk, Daniel Bryan, they can actually wrestle, and he could not wrestle his way out of a paper bag. Mm-hmm. He had that personality that was larger than life, whereas they have the wrestling ability that is larger than life.
Yeah, and I guess the good example is if you remember going – then we're going back to Tough Enough now. Remember who won? Andy Levine won. And why did he win? Because he was big and athletic. That's why he won. No other reason. That's why he won it. Okay. He turned out not to be good. There's not many of those guys around, but there's a lot of guys who are, you know, between 5'9 and 6'2 or even 6'3 that can wrestle and they're good. The thing is, like, if you look at Austin Aries, if you see him in the airport, you're going to look at him. You're like, wow, he looks, you know, like, because he's not going to be dressed like a bum. He's going to be dressed like he's important, if that makes sense. You're going to notice him because of that. And then if you know who he is, you're going to be like, wow, that's cool. I want to, you know, shake his hand or whatever, or, you know, give him a hug or a high five or, you know, fist bump. I think Kevin Nash has got to the point. Here's how I look at it. He referred to Austin. When was the last time you heard about Steve Austin, Stone Cold Steve Austin, at an independent show? And when did you hear about Kevin Nash? Every week Kevin Nash is at an indie show. Why? Because he wants to stay relevant, and he probably needs the money too. You have guys like Austin who don't need to do it, and you know they've probably done a couple here and there, but they don't need to because, well, look what their career has done. Kevin Nash has no movie career. Uh-huh. I mean, he was Shredder, Super Shredder, I mean, at one point, but, and he's been a couple of movies since then, but that's it.
Yeah, you know, and I think that really says something. You have larger than life people, but the people who are in the main event, the reason they're in the main event 90% of the time is because they are charismatic. Plain and simple. CM Punk is very, very charismatic. And that is something that you really can't teach. And that's something that it's in them. You have someone like CM Punk. You know, you have The Rock. You have a Shawn Michaels. You look at Austin Aries or Robert Roode. You know, people who are in that echelon is because they are charismatic, because they're able to get over, because some of them have wrestling abilities, some of them don't, but they're able to get over with the fans. You know, Chris Benoit, he was able to do some mic work. I don't think it was charismatic in the same way that CM Punk, you know, or The Rock was. It was a different way.
He gave it 110% in the ring, and fans knew it. They knew that he gave it all, and he was just so good in the ring. That was the best part about him. And I think that – and the fans connected because of that. Kevin Nash is just a big guy.
Yeah, Kevin Nash has charisma, though, and I will say that. Kevin Nash has tons and tons of charisma. You know, you think about when him and Goldberg were going to go at it at Starrcade, and he's like, looks like I'm next! And, you know, his facial expressions and the way he carries himself, he is awesome on the mic. In the ring, not so much.
He was at one point, though. At one point, he was good for a big guy. I mean, look at Big Show. Big Show has changed. I mean, he can wrestle now. He's taking bumps. He never did. And all of a sudden, it's like, wow, he's doing something. And, you know, I got to give him props for that. Kevin Nash, towards the end of his career, would just take these little wimpy bumps. And, like, when he took the spear from Goldberg, he was like, I don't want to get hurt. That's how he was. And see, you know, like, and you look at someone like Big Show, and he's going to try and take that as much as he can because he knows he may only have a year or two left. Let's, you know, give it 100%.
Yeah.
See, guys like Kevin Nash only had to give like 50% in the ring. That's all they had to do. Absolutely. And they got by because of their height. And yes, they are charismatic, but you have the workers. Eddie Guerrero, I mean, Chris Benoit, you know, like both of them have passed away. But I mean, look at Kurt Angle. I mean, Kurt Angle is short as all get out. I think he's only like 5'11 maybe. Mm-hmm. He's a short guy. Okay, that's knocking him as well. Is he going to...
He's probably the best in-ring performer in wrestling history, I would argue. I honestly, like, I would argue that. I mean, He is amazing. And I should say, like, him and Shawn Michaels, you know, like one and two for the total package, you know, for the charisma
and the mic
for
skills.
The wrestling ability, the mic skills, you know, everything, like those two are like one and two. And I those two are great. Those are guys also that are bigger than life, you know, and I know that obviously Nash was knocking Benoit and Guerrero and they don't have anything. They can't defend themselves because, you know, they're not around anymore. So instead you have other people defending for them and calling Nash an idiot, you know, and JR, you know, what he said about the, about Nash's comments, very, you know, PC, he was very politically correct. Didn't rock any boats. Really. He had basically taken both sides of the story. He said, you know, there are a lot of big guys who came into the business that didn't do well. So you have to have that extra factor in order to get by as a big guy. But also, even if you're a small guy, you have to have that extra factor, and that's how you're able to get over. And I think Benoit, I think he said, and Guerrero had that, because I don't think he commented about Benoit.
No, he won't copy on Benoit.
Yeah. So, you know, it's one of those things where I think that he is wrong. I think that he's looking at the business from an old person standpoint and not the new way. And because he's doing that, that's why, you know, he's not around anymore. That's why he's not relevant.
Okay, wrestling, I think, is actually making a turning point and might be coming bigger than whatever it has been. Who are your champions right now? Who are the two big champions?
CM Punk and I would say Sheamus, you know, but if you want to say Austin Aries, you can, you know. It just depends.
Sheamus is tall. He's 6'6", I think, or 6'7". Okay, mm-hmm. He's tall. CM Punk is, what, 5'11"? 6 foot, something like that? And yeah. Austin Aries is 5'10". Okay. So if you look at it from that standpoint, wrestling's in an incline opposed to a decline, like when Nash was champion. Both times, especially when he beat Goldberg. Oh, jeez. I'll never forget that day. Ugh, we're over at Jamie's house. Oh, jeez. Anyways. sorry we went a little bit long, but the Nash thing really got to us. So that's all the time we have for this week's show. If you're into the Twitter, you can follow the show at OffTheMark86. I want to thank 86 Productions for hosting and editing the podcast. And I want to thank our listeners for taking the time to download and listen to the show. And until next time, we'll see you in the ring.